Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Happier Happy Hour. And I don't make it a custom to tell you to listen to other radio products. Well, maybe I do. Mostly if they're civic media products. But I'm going to tell you, you need to listen to the Empowered Caregivers this evening. Governor Tony Evers appearing on the show. It was pre-recorded, so I know this interview has occurred. You can listen with the surety that they're going to play about a 15-minute interview with Evers. And Evers talks about his newest budget and caregivers. And actually, Tony tells a story. Tony Evers was a care provider during his lifetime, and he tells that story. It's a very personal story from our governor. I would encourage you, keep it tuned right here at the Empowered Caregivers, 7 o'clock Central Time. And I would also encourage you to listen to the Todd Alba Show. And if you don't get it in your market, try it on the Civic Media app. Starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. And my fine co-devil for the hour, Todd Alba. Todd, appreciate you sticking around, coming around, and being a part of my show today. I've called you a reformed Republican and a friend. Fairly cool guy, but that's a moving target. You know, it depends on my mood. You know, if Dom's not here, then I got to pick on you a little.
Absolutely. I mean, you can never, as they say, you can never hope to fill Dom's shoes. You can only hope to just kind of be here and be slightly taller.
No, slightly taller. You got check. Mission accomplished. That's a low bar, though, if you know what I'm saying. I want to lead this hour, and you can always be a part of this program, 844-967-2789. Todd, we talked a little bit about you being a quote-unquote reformed Republican. You worked in the legislative branch here. You were the chief of staff to a twice-elected Republican majority leader. And your former boss, Dale Schultz, I count him as a friend as well, certainly been a friend of this radio program. And you live, or at least you lived, I know you live in the Madison area now, but you grew up in Richland Center.
Yeah.
That is the third CD in the state of Wisconsin, and that was held by Ron Kind for like 25 years.
Yep.
The former DA of La Crosse, where I went to college, although he wasn't the one that prosecuted me. but the very handsome and moderate Ron Kind from La Crosse had a long and illustrious congressional career. And then he retired, and he gave and lent his endorsement to Brad Paff, a state senator, a good Democrat from Wisconsin. Sort of a rural, a farm guy. He had been the ag secretary, never confirmed here in the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Republicans definitely played some politics there. But that part of the state, it's lost to the Democrats, at least on the congressional level at this time. And it wasn't the gerrymander per se. Mm-hmm. But the fact that an insurrectionist now serves in the third CD, and what I mean by that, Derek Van Orden literally went on January 6th and was at the insurrection. It has not been stated specifically that he was a violent participant. He's denied a lot of stuff.
He took a picture.
But he did. He was proud of his attendance there.
Yeah. Posted on Facebook.
He was, if nothing else, he was insurrection adjacent. Right. And he is the sort of dude that did carry a loaded handgun on a flight. And the interesting part, it was the flight home that he had the handgun loaded. Like, how'd the handgun get on, you know, wherever you were? I assume he traveled both ways with the weapon, and they just didn't catch him on the one way.
He's a character, and he's an embarrassment, quite frankly, to the state of Wisconsin. And what's really sick, Rudy, we touched on this earlier. you served, you put on the uniform, somebody did, as you noted, you didn't maybe go into actual combat, others did. And you know what? Derek Van Orten likes to talk about the fact that he is a former SEAL. A SEAL. It's all about being a SEAL. And when I worked for Congressman Scott Klug, I dealt with military issues and actually dealt with a lot of folks, and Navy SEALs amongst them. And no one has more respect for people in the military than I. I never served, but I appreciate those who did. I think it's really unfortunate that Derek Van Orten chooses to capitalize politically and go out of his way and talk about this, because, Crudy, I don't know what your experience has been, but mine has been, it's usually the people that talk the least about their military service that saw the worst and did the most. And usually most people in the military that I know are humble and not braggadocious about their own achievements or thereof. And the fact that Derek Van Orten went out to the insurrection, to use a George Santos phrase, he was insurrection-ish. You know, I mean, he was ish on insurrection. Yeah. And it's so sad, because you had Ron Kind, and then you had Steve Gunderson, a moderate Republican before him. That's where I said I first got involved. But I don't know, Crute. I think you look into 2024, we saw in southwest Wisconsin and along the western part of the state, along the Mississippi River, Janet Protasiewicz turned a lot of voters the other way, and she did very well in southwest Wisconsin. And you know what, Crute? You might just have something to say about what goes over the airwaves coming up in the later this year, going into 2024 in the 3rd District.
Well, he is Todd Alba. He plays out in the 3rd District across the state of Wisconsin. We are the Devil's Advocates. Todd filling in for my buddy Dom, traveling abroad. He'll be back next week. Got lots of fine fill-ins. Yes, let's acknowledge civic media for just a minute, because it certainly was part of the strategy, the acquisition strategy. Mm-hmm. And we did get some fortunate news, although we're not quite ready to close and launch in La Crosse, in Eau Claire, which are both part of the 3rd District. The FCC did grant initial clear to close to Civic Media today. Mm. So the stars are aligning for a soon closing on those particular properties. And part of my partner's efforts, and I got to at least be the guy, the spear tip that goes out there and says, here's a station, the guy will sell us, and I think we should buy it. Mm. I got to be the broker on so many of these transactions. And strategically, La Crosse, I mean, A, it's where I went to college, man. That's sure. Yeah. That's my, I love that river town. I love that beautiful city. If I could have made a few more bucks, I'd still live there. I might have married that town and stayed there. Mm. It is truly God's country. And we will soon be there with 1490 AM. And also, Eau Claire, we're going to have two of the best damn signals, literally. I mean, we're going to have two of the best damn signals in the Eau Claire Valley. 93.5 FM is this gorgeous signal. That's going to carry our mission forth, yours, Todd, and mine, because you're going to hear both of our shows on 93.5 out of Eau Claire. And above and beyond that, we've got this beautiful musical stick that'll be in HD. We'll be the first one in the Eau Claire Valley playing music on an HD formatted station.
I might have to get some plastic surgery done if I'm going to be on HD. Oh, it's radio. I'm sorry, not television. Got it.
You might need some plastic surgery on your voice, man. Got to be sexy on the radio, too, but you do it with the vocal cords.
Right, right.
844-967-2789. You know what I find sexy?
What do you find sexy?
This headline.
I want to know. Tell me. I want to know what recruit finds sexy.
Here's what puts a little tingle down my leg. The headline at the Washington Post: special counsel focuses on Trump fundraising off false election claims. And I'm seeing some headlines over the Raw story suggestive of the fact that the newest revelations, the public record, what we now know as the public, could lead to espionage charges against Trump. But a little of the reporting from the Washington Post, the subheadline: a new batch of subpoenas seeks to compare public claims of voter fraud after the 2020 election versus private texts and emails. You going to hold those against the man? federal prosecutors probing the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol have in recent weeks sought a wide range of documents related to fundraising off the 2020 election, seeking to determine if Trump or his advisors, let's just say, scammed donors by using false claims about voter fraud to raise money. 8 people. Now, they don't name their sources, but they're saying we have 8 sources of these new inquiries. Special counsel Jack Smith's office has sent subpoenas in recent week to Trump advisors and former campaign aides, Republican operatives, and other consultants involved in the 2020 presidential, the people said. They have also heard testimony from some of these figures in front of a Washington grand jury. More grand juries, Trump. The eight people with knowledge of the investigation spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss an ongoing criminal investigation. It's criminal. But here's the interesting part. Here's why I bring it up to your attention, Todd, and for the sake of the audience. The fundraising prong of the investigation is focused on money raised during the period between November 3rd, 2020 and the end of Trump's time in office on January 20th, 2021. And prosecutors are said to be interested in whether anyone associated with the fundraising operation violated wire fraud laws, which make it illegal to make false representations over email to swindle people out of money. Swindle people out of money, Donald Trump. Oh.
You mean it was all a grift, Trudy?
Fake news.
It was all a grift?
I wonder how long this published less than an hour ago, this exclusive at the Washington Post. I wonder how long before Trump starts disclaiming it's all fake news.
Of course, everything is a witch hunt with him. It doesn't matter what it is. But when you're just seeing this case build and build, I know we've talked about it. We talked a little bit on our show as well in the morning. But, you know, this whole, you and Dom have talked about whether the first case should have been against Trump in the court system, this New York case involving Stormy Daniels, and we won't go into all that right now.
Yeah.
But the point is, you have maybe perhaps more substantial, stronger legal cases like this one, Crudy, much harder to get out of something involving money and an electronic or paper trail money than it is to get out of, well, did I kind of pay off illegally a porn star?
Well, let's just compare the magnitude of the digits in the dollar signs.
Yeah.
A little more of the reporting of the Washington Post. The subpoenas seek more specific types of communications so prosecutors can compare what Trump allies and advisors were telling each other privately about the voter fraud claims to what they were saying publicly in appeals that generated more than $200 million in donations from conservatives, according to people with knowledge of the investigation. $130,000 to not talk about having, you know, 3 minutes with the former president by
was
a
it porn
that star. Well, let's give him the benefit of a rounding error. Let's call it 3 minutes. We'll come back. It'll be less than 3 minutes. More Devil's Advocates. He's Todd Alba. I'm Crudy. You could be on the phones if you dial right now, 844-967-2789.
Yeah, yeah, feeling good on a Wednesday. Sparkling thoughts, give me the hope to go on.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition. I understand. The announcer tells me I got a fine guest. He is the host of the Todd Alba Show. He's the namesake of the Todd Alba Show, my friend Todd Alba. He's here in the Solidarity Realty Studios, the flagship. We're on University. The announcer says broadcasting live from State Street. Everybody else is on State Street. Everybody moved without us.
I know. They left it. I came in this morning. There were a couple of boxes. It looked like the Grinch that stole Christmas after the Grinch comes through and just leaves like a little crumb too small for a mouse and a couple of coat hangers. I'm like, what's going on?
One table, a computer monitor, and three microphones.
And the Devil's banner. See, at least you got that, Crudy.
And the Devil's banner. It's on the wall.
That's right.
And you can be a part of this big show. We do have some breaking news, or at least exclusive news, being reported at the Washington Post. I want to get back to a little bit of this, but the phone number quickly, 844-967-2789. Here's the news. At least two grand juries in Washington are meeting every week about Trump and his advisors on multiple fronts, people familiar with the investigation say. And the Mar-a-Lago documents case is said to be further along than the January 6th investigation. People have grown increasingly, pardon me, Trump has grown increasingly agitated as prosecutors have interviewed dozens of his aides, including Mar-a-Lago employees and household staff. They asked Consuela. No, no. The special counsel's increased interest in fundraising follows the December release of the final report of the House Select Committee that investigated the January 6th attack, which concluded that the Trump campaign and Republican National Committee's joint fundraising operation brought in a cool $250 million, $250 million, between the November election and January 6th, sending as many as 25 emails a day to supporters, many claiming the election had been rigged, air quotes, or that Democrats had tried to steal the presidency and urging people to join the Trump Army. Trump Army. He never served, did he?
No, he had bone spurs, security. Bone spurs.
Oh, I had forgotten. The Trump campaign sent several emails on January 6th itself, including one declaring, "Today, all caps, this is our last chance, all caps. The stakes have never, all caps, been higher. President Trump needs you to make a statement and publicly stand with him and fight back." A fundraising.
Where's the alcohol?
You know, they claim
a headache.
They claim that Trump does not drink.
Well, yeah, that's what they claim. He just does the drugs.
Perhaps. That I, you know, Ritalin, I've heard Ritalin, maybe just.
Well, Don
I've heard it alleged. People are saying.
Don Jr. is doing a lot more than Ritalin, I think.
Oh, everybody knows that. You don't have to say alleged with Don Jr.
For me, it's the picture of his desk. There's a picture of this man sitting at his desk in Trump Tower, and a drawer behind him is partially open, and it's two or three dozen boxes of pseudoephedrine. I've seen it.
Allergies.
Right.
Yeah.
It's spring.
Let me keep it moving here with this reporting. One new subpoena sent by the Justice Department to a Trump advisor and described to the Post saw drafts of all potential fundraising emails between November and January 20th and any internal communications about whether such pitches were legally sound. I suspect they were not. The subpoena asked for all records or any changes and edits made to the fundraising emails, along with discussions among Trump advisors about such email pitches. It sought all documents created or received by the Trump advisors in support of or contradicting statements made in the fundraising emails. In addition, it requested any communications amongst those involved in fundraising efforts about whether fundraising emails could incite violence or contain false and misleading information. And it asked for all documents and correspondence amongst Trump advisors and others involved in the campaign, pardon me, about whether the election was stolen, seemingly seeking to determine whether those sending or approving the emails knew some of the claims were dubious. I had seen other reporting, not this particular report. The Fox News producer, who's now unemployed, who's suing her former employer, claims they got all kinds of tape of Rudy basically laying out the fact that they don't believe it either. It's all a scheme. That could be very damning in the, let's just say, defamation suit being sought by the Dominion.
Yeah, depositions are going to be very interesting. Just deposition and discovery under oath for some of these people.
Did you, in 844-967-2789, he's Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show. Well, Sarah K. Burris over at The Raw Story. I don't know if you, as a show host, love the Raw Story. Like, I love the Raw
Story.
I've got
them on my Twitter account right here. I follow
one of my favorite aggregators. They picked up a little of this reporting from the Post. Here's what they say. A little over a week ago, the Washington Post reported that among the things former President Donald Trump was doing with the documents he took from the White House was showing them off to people visiting him at Mar-a-Lago. Trump was already in hot water for having the documents and spending a year refusing to give them back. What this adds to the piece of the story, reporter Michael Schmidt explained, is another piece of Trump's intent. Yeah, his son kills elephants, and he's got classified maps, said MSNBC host Nicole Wallace. I don't understand that reference.
The maps of Nicole Wallace?
I don't understand.
I'm not sure if Trump had a thing for Nicole Wallace. I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure.
Wallace went on to ask if there was a connection between Special Counsel Jack Smith's probe and the recent statements from former Attorney General Bill Barr, sounding more confident that Trump will be indicted for obstruction of justice. She noted that Barr sounded so invested and as if he testified himself. Schmidt said that one thing he observed from Barr is that no one else in the Trump universe has the savvy and political instincts to move around on the chessboard of politics. Barr has already tried to maneuver himself into the best position in the past year. Well, it's agreed, observing that he seemed to play to the audience. But it was the, I think the reason that they asked about the map is another statute, the espionage statute, says that someone who is unauthorized to have possession of a map and then shows it to someone who can't see it violates the statute. I think they mean Trump. So they're not just going after him for obstruction, but also espionage, which is punishable by up to 10 years in prison. That's kind of deep trouble for you, Trump. Come back, more devils.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the happier, happy hour, the Wednesday edition. I got Todd Alba, my fine co-devil for the hour. Appreciate you coming around, Todd. Todd is the host of one of the finer products right here on the Civic Media Network. Todd plays out 8 to 11 a.m. in much of western Wisconsin. It'll be a growing network of stations very, very soon. Todd, let me make a couple other quick show notes.
Yeah.
There's a little envy going on in my household right now.
Show envy.
Political.
Oh.
Show envy.
Yes.
In that my wife has been doing a radio product more than a year now, and I'm very proud of her, and she continues to improve and got a damn good little show going on.
Yeah, great show.
And she plays out on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Network, originating from Madison. And she and her co-host, Kristen Voss, my wife's name is Liza Hellenbrand. I'm very proud of her. They have an appearance from Democratic Governor Tony Evers tonight on their program. And I have not had an appearance by Tony Evers on my program in like 4.5 years. He's been on, but it's been a while, Tony. So if you'd like to join us, Mr. Evers, I don't want to steal her thunder, but... Yeah. I'd preempt her if you called right now, Tony, at 844-967-2789.
You really don't want to sleep inside the house tonight, do you, Crute?
Well, she's already got a notch on the media post. She's got the governor, and
Maybe you should be nicer to Liza. Maybe she will help you book the governor. You know, maybe she could be your agent, Crute.
My true thought. You know, between you and I and the fence post.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
The governor didn't know she was my wife.
You really think that?
Yes. No. It's That's budget great. Time. Right. And they do a fine program. And, you know, a lot of Wisconsinites, a lot of Americans are affected. They become caregivers, whether you want to be or not. Yep. I've heard Kristen and Liza talk about the fact, you know, you either know one, you are one, or you're going to need one.
Yeah.
So at some point in your life, you need end-of-life care or, you know, you're disabled in some way, shape, or form. I have a son who's on the autism spectrum. It is only through very intensive care through much of his childhood that my son has had great prognosis and outcomes. I mean, he's doing an adaptive college program in Madison. Mm-hmm. Kristen Voss, I know, has got her own hands full with her own children, one of whom has a lot of stuff going on. And caregivers are amongst us, and we have to be cognizant. When they started doing the program, they asked, could we survey your colleagues here, your show host, etc. I had no idea the number of people that worked or produced shows through this organization, through Civic Media, that are also care providers and some loved one, whether they want to be or not.
Yeah.
You know, life just thrusts it upon them. So I would encourage you, Governor Tony Evers, tonight on the Empowered Caregivers. I think it was a fine interview. It has been recorded, and I think you've probably heard a few snippets, a little newsworthiness, in regards to Tony's budgetary proposals to caregivers. They need to be supported, as does this fine product with your phone calls, 844-967-2789. We're going to get to... judges sanctioning Foxy News before the Dominion lawsuit goes forward. But first, you, Jim from Appleton, you've been patient. Appreciate it. What do you got for us?
I was just going to go right there. Fox News sanctioned for withholding evidence from Dominion laws.
Yeah, the whole discovery phase of a civil litigation, meaning you got to turn over what evidence you plan to take to court. And I strongly suspect, and the judge strongly suspects, Fox News didn't meet the standard. They might have been, let's just say, hiding some stuff. And if you think about it, Jim, Todd Alba and I were talking about this off air. How bad is the stuff that they didn't disclose that they would fear the wrath of the court and contempt charges and say, you know what? Despite all the downside, it's worse if this gets out. What do you think that looks like, Jim?
I think that looks, it's got to look terrible because what's already gotten out pretty much made Dominion's case for them.
Yes, sir.
Fox is in deep trouble, and oh, am I happy about that, because they've been playing fast and loose with the First Amendment for 30 years.
Yeah, they certainly have.
In my opinion, then why do you call yourselves news? How can you keep calling yourselves news when 70% of your content is opinion?
Well, Jim, I'll just tell you this. I call myself sexy.
Yeah, well, that's up to your wife to decide. I won't argue with her.
Well, she doesn't characterize me as such, Jim. That's more of a affectation of my own mind, if you know what I'm saying. Appreciate you listening, sir. You know, Fox News made the big announcement, the Foxy Friends today. I think it was Ducey and Hegseth and whoever the blonde is. Is that Ainsley?
I can't keep track of her name. I have no interest. I have no interest in her or her affiliation.
Well, they brought on Rona McDaniel,
yeah,
formerly Rona McDaniel Romney, but apparently she's dropped the Romney affiliation, you know, bad juju, right, in the Republican Party to associate your family name with Romney. But anyways, the big announcement, the Republican presidential debate coming to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is partnered with Fox News and the Scott Walker Young Nazis Association. I forget what he calls his kids group.
YAF? The Young Americans Foundation.
Why, Young Adolphs?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. They, YAF.
Scott Walker, you know, failed horribly as a presidential candidate. And even as a governor here in the state of Wisconsin, he was really a creation, I think, of right-wing media. The Charlie Sykes, the Mark Bellings, the Vicky McKinnis, they lifted this guy up. And he survived in no small part because he got air cover, not just locally from right-wing talk radio, but also from Fox News.
Yeah,
they helped him build up his national profile. Now, when he met Donald Trump on the debate stage, what, about 6-7 years ago? Failed, yeah, miserably, got crushed. You know, Dom and I sat down, we crashed his party at the RNC, Shooters on the River.
Really?
We got invited by David Blaska, who is a curmudgeon, yeah, I'm a columnist here in Madison. Yeah. He's still around. He's still kicking.
Yeah.
I like him as a writer more than as a conversationalist on the radio.
Sure.
But we knew David, and he was sort of hammered, and he invited us to Scott Walker's party. So, lo and behold, we showed up, and we were transparent. We told him, you know, we were invited here. David Blaska. And, you know, of course they said, sorry, you're not welcome. I said, we totally understand. We totally get that. And, you know, it was a hot night in Cleveland. This was in the summer of 2016. Uh-huh. And, you know, Blaska was sort of a never Trumper. There was still talk afoot that they might try to, you know, do like a palace coup at the, yeah, at the nominating convention.
The old smoke shield convention room, yeah.
And Paul Manafort was there, the guide Trump through the convention process. But we showed up at Scott Walker's party, and Scott Walker ended his presidential campaign deeply in debt.
Oh, yeah.
And I happened to have a shiny new convertible out in the parking lot. Still had Wisconsin, like, temp plates on it. Uh-huh. So she comes running out. Boys, boys! She comes chasing us. You know, thinking I, what, had a donor checkbook in the glove box?
Right.
Like, there's a nice car. Maybe they can help us retire some of the campaign debt. And even to her, I'm like, well, you know, we're finer media, actually. She's like, no, Wisconsin, you're all welcome. So we're invited in the party. And we showed up, sat at the bar. And who sits down the bar from Dominic? Scott Walker. It's his party. He's the host of the party. And he looks very depressed. And it was a collaboration. It was multiple states.
Yeah.
So there was like an Alaska contingent. They're whooping it up. But Scott Walker's sitting there all sourpuss at the bar. And we're down the bar. And it was funny because we met the kids on behalf of Scott Walker's campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Republican, you know, they had radio listener intern kids that had to listen to the Devil's Advocate show. Not one, but two. On behalf of different organizations, why they couldn't consolidate?
Did you indoctrinate them?
Yes, they loved us. They said, "You guys are really funny." They like, "We found you very entertaining." We said, "Thank you very much." Sorry, your guy won. Well, not Scott Walker down the bar here, right. But the other one. So, anyways, we went to this renamed bar for Scott Walker's private party.
Uh-huh.
We sat down the bar, and I'm no more than 15 feet away, and I'm looking at Walker, and he's got that Marty Feldman, I don't know. He might be looking at me. I can't tell. And I'm like, you got to get him a drink, Dom. And a better story would have concluded with, Scott Walker throwing the drink in our face whatever, because we were cheering against the man. I mean, our friend, I forget his name off the top of my head, but was in the room as local press, like community press, when Scott Walker withdrew from the race.
Yeah.
And, Scott Walker said, "I'm stepping down to let a more conservative whatever."
It was a weird night.
One guy in the room clapped. It was a friend of ours, of course.
Of course.
I'm sorry, I don't recall your name. It was very clever. Guy looks like Abe Lincoln. Saw him many times at the Capitol.
Okay.
But anyway, Scott Walker was all sourpussed, and we did not buy him a drink. But mostly, I think, just because Don was cheap. Like, didn't want to squander his alcohol dollars on Scott Walker.
I mean, it was Tonette, his wife, that pulled the plug on the whole thing. She basically told him, "This is over." And that's how it all ended. I know that for a fact.
Did you see the new rollout, the YAF, the Young Adolf Foundation, the Young Americans, the Scott Walker fronted organization, which is like his payoff for being a good conservative and being a good boy, right? He stuck it to the unions, and he led the charge here in the state of Wisconsin, and this is effectively him cashing out. These are the payoff days for Scott Walker, and he's getting paid off like $1.5 million per year. It's a public corporation that well, it's not a public corporation, but they made public disclosure of his compensation level. So when Scott Walker says, "I'm not running against Tammy Baldwin," he's really telling you, because I got to go cash another $1.5 million check next year, I'm not screwing up this good thing.
He's on the gravy train.
Well, when he was county executive, he was, giving back half of his salary? Doing these politically idiotic things, personally idiotic for the sake of garnering some political capital.
Yep.
Because when Scott Walker ran for the president, he disclosed on his federal disclosures a net negative worth. He was $73,500 in the hole the day he ran for president. The day he ran, that's what he disclosed. Man, I'm not saying you got to be a rich man to run for public office, but maybe you should get a real job and start working down your debt, sir. And when he left the presidential campaign, the dude was, over $1 million in debt.
Yeah.
His campaign was. And they retired mostly that debt by selling my email address to every other donor in America.
And did he raise $90 million at one point before he got in?
Like $45 million. He had burned through by September, he'd burned through $45 million.
Millions of dollars you raise, he just completely threw it in the toilet.
Well, now the new Young Adolf Foundation, whatever, the Young Americans Foundation that wanker, as I like to call them, Scott Walker heads. Well, they rolled out this new thing. It's called the long game. And I thought to myself, Tonette Walker, I'll tell you, Scott Walker ain't got no game. Certainly doesn't have the long game, if you know what I'm saying. I know, because I sat down the bar from Tonette Walker as well.
Yeah.
And she did not have the look on her face of a satisfied woman.
I felt like if nothing else.
You had that knack to know that, Crudy. I'm learning more and more about you every day.
Well, I've seen that look from Aaliyah Vukmir when she looks at Dominic. No, Leah.
Was Leah satisfied with Dominic?
I can tell you, Leah always had a thing for Dominic, and I kid you not. That's for realsies. But I suspect Tonette might have as well.
Dom is irresistible to the women.
Ladies love dirty Dominic. He's not here today. You'll have to settle with Todd Alba and sexy Crudy. I'm sexy in my mind. Come back. Your phone calls could be next. And also some news about a judge sanctioning Foxy News. Couldn't happen to a nicer fake news organization. 844-96-PARTY. Come back. More Devils.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling Devils advocates.
Welcome back to the Devils Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. Your last opportunity for the day to give us a call, to join us, to share your thoughts right here. 844-967-2789. I got to find Code Devil for the rest of, I guess we got like 10 minutes left.
How about
he is
that?
Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show right here on the Civic Media Network, a rapidly growing network. And, you know, suddenly, we got some music I like. I'm not a huge country guy. Like, I like RCO. But WRCO, where you originally worked, and where we've got this fine country station, I'm in it more for the hometown news and the Packers that play out on WRCO. And hell, I mean, our pal Phil Nee's doing rock and roll request show on Saturday night. It's not about the country music. But I don't know if you know, I used to DJ.
I've heard rumors of this.
I was a, like a club DJ.
Yeah.
And
did weddings or just clubs?
More like the clubs. You know, I was in high demand. I couldn't go do private venue stuff. I even one time had to, I had to DJ like a Chippendales dancer thing.
Get out.
Yeah. Bar was crawling, and it was called the Silver Bullet. The guy that owned it was Val Palin up in La Crosse, and it was this enormous dance hall. It put 2,000 people in there.
Wow.
They would do that for teenage dances on Friday nights. You couldn't drink.
Yeah.
So they'd have teen dances, you know, up to like 19, 20. You could go into this teen dance. You'd pay $2 and they'd sell you a $5 Coca-Cola. But it would just get filthy with these kids. You know, they'd make all their money on the door. But there's nothing to do in small town America on a mini for many small towns on a Friday night. And they had wisened up. It was hard as a teenager to go to the bars in La Crosse. Mm-hmm. When I went to college, the drinking age was 19. Then they popped it up to 21. Tony Earle got threatened. You know, we'll take away your highway money. When I first voted, 1988, Michael Dukakis was top of the ticket. And I got interviewed after voting. And we had partied the night before. Monday night. Of course, you get drunk on a Monday night, right?
Who doesn't, right?
Monday night football, I suspect. you know, fall. It was the fall election. I voted for Dukakis, and I, you know, despite the fact my eyes are nearly swollen shut from all the beer I drank the night before, I go out there and I'm telling this, you know, local newscaster or reporter, we college kids, we represent, because we don't want the drinking age to be 21. That was my logic. And then after they raised the drinking age to 21, and I was still a minor, you know, by legal drinking standards. Sure. I didn't vote again for like 8 years.
Really?
Yeah, I skipped like most of my 20s.
Wow.
Very selfish kid.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get political until voted, I had kids.
I voted in 1988 as well for George H.W. Bush.
At least your guy won.
Well, it's true.
You know, I lost a job because Bill Clinton came to La Crosse.
Uh-huh.
And I was delivering Chinese food for a place called The Dragon. Okay. Pretty small job. Yeah. I drove the Pontiac 6000, the Dragon wagon, had a dragon painted on this. You know, think of like escort. It looked like an escort with a dragon wrapped around it. And I would drive around La Crosse, and I could basically eat as many egg rolls as I wanted. So free egg rolls.
That's a great gig.
And I'd drive around. I'd get tipped a show up with Chinese food.
That's fantastic.
It was, and I didn't even have to pay for the gas or any of that.
See, your job's worked out well. I mean, you're a DJ at a club. One of my jobs in college, I was a mobile DJ for a guy still around Richland Center. I did a wedding one time at a pole shed on a farm between Viroqua and Westby. And there was a time set, you know, like these things, you pay for a certain amount of time, and it went past midnight. They want me to play another hour. They always say, don't give in. I gave in. And so I played for another hour, went to 1 o'clock in the morning. They said, we want you to play more. And by this time, they're wasted. And they're all, and I said, I can't do it. So I started packing my equipment up. It was getting pretty rowdy. They started throwing beer cans at my car as I pulled out of the bar at the barnyard. So, I mean, it was not a high class event up there between Westby and Viroqua.
Did you play Rawhide? Did you ever remember Blues Brothers when they're on the stage in their country western bar with chicken wire between them and the audience?
it was not quite that bad, but as they say in Richland Center, Pertner.
I can tell you that night when I played the Chippendales or whatever the Chippendales equivalent was at the Silver Bullet bar in La Crosse and I screwed it up. Oh, I thought those women were coming for me that night. They'd have torn me limb for limb. No, not in a good way. 844-967-2789. A few friends on the phones. Let's get to them. Rico from Rock County. Say hi to my friend Todd Alba.
Rico, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Todd?
Doing well.
Thanks for coming in tonight. Thanks for coming in tonight, buddy.
Oh, my pleasure.
You made it one of the greatest radio shows again, you know. Hey, thing I like about Todd is he restores my faith in humanity, see? Because there are a few, sooner or later, that do step out of that darkness. And you come into the light, don't you, Todd?
Well, that's very kind of you to say. Yeah, I mean, for me, it was just, you know, what Scott Walker is challenging is critical thinking, right? So it was an opportunity for me to just look, reflect and say, look, you know, I have certain fundamentals, certain values. In a lot of ways, I'm still fiscally conservative. I like smaller government, those sort of things. But I also, as it turns out, believe in democracy and the Constitution. And once Republicans started, you know, messing around with people's constitutional right to vote, I was out.
So I think he just called you a open borders tax and spender, Rico.
Now, Rico, don't let Crudy do that. That's not true at all. I'm trying to say you're right.
Yeah. Oh, well, Crudy, you know what? You just keep on doing what you're doing because obviously it must be reaching some people.
Well, sorry to cut you short, man. At least we're reaching into Rock County tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's always a little touch and go in the southern part of Wisconsin. We'll get there stronger someday soon, I suspect.
Yes.
844-967-2789. Gary, you're next. Welcome, Gary.
Good evening. Thank you so much for all that you're doing, Crudy. It's pretty astounding. And I love using the app. And I get to flip around to some parts, even parts of my favorite programs. And Todd Alba's show is among them. So,
too kind. Thank you.
Is number one, you know.
Of course. Absolutely.
As long as we know the batting order.
Right.
Gary.
The programming, the guests, and so on.
Gary, I got a new one for you. WRPQ, yeah. I believe. It's called the Max 99.7. It's a new station, part of the Civic Media family, and, you know, we brought on their team. They got a great morning show with Maddie and Finn, and it's music, but it's like the kind of music Crudy liked when he was playing the clubs. You know, it's stuff upbeat you can dance to, like George Michael Freedom would play on the Max format.
Well, there you go. Dance music in the morning. It's essential sometimes.
Yeah, well, you know, can't get real harsh with the politics till about 4 p.m, can you, Gary?
I don't know. I'm good for it almost any time.
Awesome, man. But especially at 4 p.m. Gary, really appreciate you listening.
Thanks, Gary.
All the Civic Media products. Don't forget, tomorrow on this show, I got Joe Sapecki. He's going to join me in the 4 o'clock hour. He's a fine Dem strategist. And then my congressman, Mark Pocan, joining us about 5:30 tomorrow. Matt Flynn's going to sit in for yours truly on Monday. I'm going out to the National Association of Broadcasters.
Enjoy that, Crudy.
Civic Media, we're kind of a big deal now.
You kind of are.
I have not been prior. I hear it's like 100,000 people. You'll never get to all the exhibitions. Matt Rothschild sitting in for me on Tuesday. And don't forget, Tony Evers appearing on the Empowered Caregivers right here on the Civic Media Network after 7:00.
Crudy, real quick, breaking news right now out of Juneau County. There is a large 100-acre wildfire right now burning in Juneau County. If you're going along the interstate, particularly in Juneau County by Nisida, be careful. If you're on the highway, Black Hawk helicopters right now fighting the fire from the air.
Yeah, I understood it. Some sort of emergency in regards to the strong winds, the warm weather, unseasonably warm. It is a fire hazard out there. We've got Native Roots Radio coming up next. Keep it locked. Tell your friends. Get the Civic Media app.
Thanks, Crudy, for the opportunity.
Todd Alba, thank you. Thank you, Ebone. Thank you all for listening. We ain't done yet. Keep it locked right here. Civic Media, Native Roots Radio, and then the governor.